For sure, your past is gone, and your hope is in Jesus. So your past, he took away. He took all those sins, all those mistakes, all those things we've done that we regret. And he's also with us in the present moment anytime we need anything. So when we need guidance and direction, we go to God, we stop and we pray, and then we make decisions about what to do next with all of our lives. So if we could just remember that when we're going through life's journeys, that what we do now also affects what happens then in the future, it will make a difference as to how we go about our life. And one of the things that we all have to think about all the time, no matter what it is we're doing with our life, is to ask ourselves, how will this affect me or others spiritually and especially eternally? Because all we are here to do and be is to do God's will, to live God's way, and to do the kinds of things that will benefit others, to bless others, and also give us a blessed life as well. Now, some of us haven't always been that way. I'm a little older than some of the folks that are around me a lot of the times, and I must have to say that hopefully with age, I've learned definitely more so than ever what I do now will affect what I'm doing in the future, as well as the fact that some of the things I did then in the past have affected my now. So just a word of advice there for those of you that are young. What you do with your life now as a young person, you'll be that person when you're older too. So just kind of giving you a word of advice there. But why I say that is we're going to go to the book of Genesis tonight, chapter 25, and it's a story of a couple of folks that were part of God's promise to Abraham. These are sons of Isaac, and they are part of the lineage of the descendants of all the promises that God made to all humanity through what he prophesied to Abraham, that he would be the father of many nations and many, many people. And so part of the promise came through his son, Isaac. Isaac was the son who was the miraculous son. Remember, Sarah was 80-something years old, could not have a child, and God gave her Isaac. So this is the part of the grandchildren of Abraham and Sarah. So Genesis 25, verse 19. This is the history of the family of Isaac, the son of Abraham. When Isaac was 40 years old, he married Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, and the sister of Laban. Isaac pleaded with the Lord to give Rebekah a child because she was childless. So the Lord answered Isaac's prayer, and his wife became pregnant with twins. So you see how God operates? He doesn't only just give Isaac one child. He blesses God, blesses Isaac double, and Rebekah double. So she gets twins. Isn't that awesome? Like double blessing. But the two children struggled with each other in her womb. So she went to ask the Lord about it. "Why is this happening to me?" she asked. And the Lord told her, "The sons in your womb will become two rival nations. One nation will be stronger than the other. The descendant of your older son will serve the descendants of your younger son." And when the time came, the twins were born. The first was very red at birth. He was covered with so much hair that one would think he was wearing a piece of clothing. Little hairy boy is when he was born. So they called him Esau, which meant hair, oddly enough. Well, that's unique. So then, then the other twin was born with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob, one who grasped the heel of another. Wow, see how easy it is to name children back in biblical times. Isaac was 60 years old when the twins were born. So think about this. Isaac was 40 years old when he prayed to have a child through Rebekah, and he's now 60. So 20 years went by. That's how long it took for God to answer that prayer. So if you're waiting on some answers to prayers, sometimes it does take some time. As the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open fields, while Jacob was the kind of person who liked to stay at home. Kind of opposite guys, two opposite people. Isaac loved Esau in particular because of the wild game he brought home. So obviously Isaac loved Esau for the purpose of him bringing home food to him. But Rebecca favored Jacob. Now I'm kind of seeing there's a little dysfunction here going on ever so slightly with this family. So Isaac, he likes Esau, and Rebecca likes Jacob. For those of you that have ever grown up with siblings, this is part of what sibling rivalry comes from. One day when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home exhausted and hungry from a hunt. Esau said to Jacob, "I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew you've made." This was how Esau got his older name, Edom. Red stands for red stew, and you'll see why. Jacob replied, "All right, but trade me your birthright for it." For stew? Red stew? Now, understand this, right? Esau comes out first. Jacob comes out behind Esau. You know, the firstborn in biblical times would be the favored person or the son that would carry on the lineage, carry on the birthright, would own all the property, would have all the wealth, so on and so forth. So that belonged to Esau. However, Jacob says to Esau, "I'll give you this stew if you give me your birthright." It's an easy bargain, right? Simple, right? Sure, your birthright, all your future, everything you're going to have, all the wealth you're going to have, everything you're just going to have, everything you could possibly dream of in the future. And here's what Esau says. "Look, I'm dying of starvation. What good is my birthright to me now? I'm hungry." Have you ever done anything in the moment because right then, right now, you had to have it and you didn't care what the future was? How many times do we? Yeah. Oh, yeah. None of us have done any of that, I know. So how many times do we, you know, we that love instant gratification, right? It's whatever it is, right here, right now, short-term gain. I need this right now. I'm starving. I'm hungry. Or whatever it is that's going on with us emotionally. We've got to have it right here, that shiny new object, whatever it might be. Brand new something comes into our life, and we don't think about what? The future. We don't think about the then. We only think about the right here, right now. In this moment, I'm hungry, and I'm going to satisfy that thirst or that hunger that I have right now. Especially, very often, when we have an emotional need in the moment, sometimes we grab at the very first thing we can get, and we forget about what the future consequences could be. And that's exactly what happens to Esau. So he has short-term gain, long-term pain. Short-term gain, long-term pain. So Jacob insisted, "Well then, swear to me right now that it is mine." So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all his rights as the firstborn to his younger brother. Then Jacob gave him some bread and lentil stew. Wow, I hope he loved what it tasted like. Esau ate and drank and went on about his business. He was just, his stomach was full. That moment that he had right then, that instant gratification, he got what he wanted right then and there. And he was all filled up with that in the moment. Indifferent to the fact that he had just given up his birthright. Indifferent to that. He wasn't even considering it. So, a short story here. But it has a lot of meat on this for us all. Each and every, well, stew. I guess it's lentils after all. But needless to say, all of us, we have got to control our impulses. We've got to control our decisions that we make in the spur of the moment. Impulsivity is one of the most problematic things all of us can ever face. All of us. And when I think personally again about the times in my life that I made an instant decision for that one instant moment that it, you know, either felt good or something I wanted right then and there and wasn't thinking of the future consequence, it didn't turn out so good, to say the least. And now just think about what Esau's life is going to be like later. And if you continue to read about him later, he truly goes down the wrong path altogether. He didn't understand who his grandfather was, who he was in the lineage of God's kingdom. He had no spiritual awareness whatsoever how important this birthright was and what it meant that God had, first of all, the fact that he and his brother Jacob were even born was a miracle. And Isaac, his father, was a miracle. So he comes from a strong line of miracles and not realizing his future. He had a beautiful, awesome future, or could have. However, short-term gain, long-term pain. So what I want us all to think about is whatever and whenever we're tempted to do something in the moment because we're either hungry or hungry, not only physically hungry, but emotionally hungry, or we're starving for attention, or we need something and or someone or whatever it might be, and we think that, you know, this, I have to have this thing right here, right now, and it's going to, especially when those of us that go through emotional turmoil and trouble and problems, some of us gravitate and grab onto things for a temporary fix, not realizing the ramifications of what the future could be with that. Some of us get into situations, jobs, careers, we change things, we move away, we leave relationships, we start relationships, we start another relationship, we leave it, all because sometimes short-term gain and then there's long-term pain. I would like to have a more of a pain-free life for each and every one of us. So I learned in my psychology training that some of the questions we need to ask ourselves before we do anything. And, you know, the Bible's real clear on this as well, that when we think before we speak, when we think before we act, when we ask ourselves the question, what will the then be if I do this right now? If I spend all of my money enjoying all of my lavish lifestyle right here, right now, what will I have in the future later? And I guess I have to tell you this, that, you know, someday you're going to be, some of you may, be as old as me one day. So, that said, while you're young, you know, the Bible's clear in the book of Proverbs, store away something for the future. It's okay to invest in yourself and your future. You can't spend everything financially and or you can't have everything in your sight all the time. That insatiable appetite that many of us have, and I know we're bombarded with marketing and all kinds of things, and being a person that was in the car business, I mean, I could just tell you story after story about how easy it is to cause somebody to buy a real expensive car because it was in the moment, like, wow, how's that going to look in your driveway? What are your neighbors going to say? And isn't this going to be wonderful? Until they get that $1,000 a month car payment later, and, you know, it's not such a, and the newness wears off. So, needless to say, we need to ask ourselves the question, if I do this now, how will it affect my future? Not only in the consequences of our own daily life or in our own personal life, but spiritually speaking as well. Each of us have a purpose, I believe, to do spiritual, great, and awesome things. And all of us, and especially in a church environment as well, we have to be good stewards of our time and our talents and the monies that we have capable to us all. And we always have to ask ourselves, you know, what's the long-term plan here? Is what I'm doing right now going to affect my future or the future of somebody else? And, you know, as hungry as Esau was, and I'm not saying that, you know, I don't understand Jacob either, to tell you the truth. Like, why wouldn't he share a meal with his brother? I mean, there's a whole other sermon, I know. But needless to say, right, it's amazing to me how that manipulation went on with Jacob. So but point being, neither one of them, as much as they could have been their very best, you know, Jacob was thinking about his own self and his own selfish motives. So that wasn't good in that moment of now. And Esau was thinking about his own physical needs, and that wasn't a good spot. And so, you know, what happens so very often is how a person is trying to manipulate us or how someone's trying to talk us into something, we have to use godly wisdom to say to ourselves, what bad would happen if I did this? What bad would happen if I didn't do this? And those are questions you could ask yourself in the now, because that could help prevent some of the bad thens that could take place. And it's no different than any of the kind of things we happen sometimes emotionally speaking. If we're upset with someone, that's not exactly the time to speak your mind. How about you wait to then when you're more calm? So you could use that philosophy all the time, because our now does affect our then. And so when we're mindful of that, when we can stop and think and gain self-control over our desires, over our feelings, our emotions, we can have so much more of a blessed, awesome life. God had great plans for Isaac, for Jacob and Esau and so forth. If they would have trusted each of these men, if they would have trusted in God, and God could have used them in such a different way, and the negativity that happened between them and this whole sibling rivalry. You know, Isaac and Rebekah, they had their issues too. So, you know, I don't know if they saw the town counselor or not, but needless to say, they could have used some help as well. We have the beautiful hindsight, however, to look at them and say, wow, boy, look at those people. They were really messed up. Well, you know, so enough said about that. All of us in our humanness, we have that potential to make some foolish decisions, to make some not so wise choices. So I would like to help us all think about long-term gain, short-term pain. When you think about Jesus, the beautiful example of his night on the cross, short-term pain for long-term gain for all of us. You can see how it's different. So if you're working out and you want to get healthier, yes, it's painful sometimes to exercise. It's painful to push away from the table, and it's hard to open that refrigerator door. It's painful sometimes to resist the enemy or resist temptations. But in the short term, it's painful. But in the long term, it's a great gain. And it's a great positive for you. So I pray that all of us can take our nows and think about them. What's the best thing I can do right now for my future self, for my future life, for the future life of others, especially eternally? Amen? Amen.